Hey, 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 it's Black Girls Laughing. Yay.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm like so low energy right now.
So am I.
I'm trying to bring it, but I've had a very crazy 24 hours. So
what's going on?
Oh my gosh. I lived my personal nightmare. And I accidentally hosted a your personal nightmare party yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
Explain.
So Jordan has friends from school. These friends came over, and I had this bright idea because we live in Colorado, and these are like our first friends that are also cool with marijuana. That I was like, oh, I'm gonna like make edibles. So I made brownies, and I made them the way that my friend in college would make brownies, and it proceeded to kill everyone. Like, everyone died in a different way, and it really freaking sucked. So yeah, it was terrible. I've never, because like, you don't meet someone, it's like a new thing of understanding, you don't meet someone and give them drugs. You just don't do that.
List of things you don't do. Meet them and give them drugs the first time you meet them.
Yeah, and like, that's not even the way I operate, like, at all. And so it was just like a lot of stupid decisions. At one point, we were all crying like, we're too old for this shit. How did we do this to ourselves?
Like, literally crying?
No, not literally. I mean, maybe some people were crying. I wasn't crying. It was just a tough time. And I felt like shit the entire time because I made the thing that killed everyone. And I didn't follow my own advice. So I was like, you know what? We should break these things up into fourths. I made individual ones. I put them inside of my muffin tin. So they were like individual brownies already like prepared. And I was like, you know what? We should probably slice these up in fourths and like have a little bit at a time. Like an adult, the adult way that you consume marijuana. Like that's what you should do. And we did it the wrong way.
You just ate a full muffin sized brownie.
Like a little like puck sized brownie thing, you know, and like we were all chill. I thought we were all chill like, for a while. Like we were like telling jokes. I made like delicious vegan food. We were eating the sandwiches and the French fries, and then we sat down to watch a movie because we were hanging out watching the episode 7 of Star Wars so we can be ready for episode 8 that comes out next week. And so like about like 10 minutes into the movie, we were like, we can't do this anymore. we watched the whole movie, and we also proceeded to watch like 10 episodes of Steven Universe to just sort of like make us normal.
Oh my gosh.
Freaking Steven Universe saved the day. It was the 10 episodes that we watched of Steven Universe brought us all down. I made more French fries. We drank lots of water and tea and things. But it's just not the first hangout, by no means. And then it made me miss my friend Hunter, because like we probably would have been able to like roll in a different way, slash he could have probably took control of that situation better. He's always been a good drug guy for me, so. And at one point, I was like, I feel like we're, like, kind of going on a trip, guys. Let's, like, try to, like, organize and be together. Like, it's a unit going through this thing. Nope. And no one wanted to do that. So I was like, okay, I guess we'll all sit in our personal hells and watch Steven Universe.
This is hell on earth.
Yeah, it just sucked. It felt like I knew no one. Like, I'm in my own apartment, but I knew no one in the apartment. Not even the person I was married to. I was like, everyone is...
Stranger.
Everyone's foreign. I don't understand this. And, like, I can't handle
it. Oh, no.
But hey, you live, you learn, you make a stupid mistake, and
you go from there.
I mean, that was like the big thing. It's like, we're not gonna die. We're not gonna die. So how about we just deal with it? It's just hard. Like, when everyone wants to be, I'm such a person that's like, let's just make it positive. Let's just make it positive. And sometimes people's way of making it positive is highlighting the negative too much in like a sense of camaraderie, and that sometimes doesn't help me. So it just made it all worse. It was like, at times I'd be like, "Oh, this is terrible. Oh, the rush is awful." And I'm like, "No, let's be happy. let's just try to talk." But no one could do that because it was like, it really fucked us up. So yeah, and so now I have these like we ate four of them, so I have 8 more left.
You only need slivers of those.
No, like literally a sliver. And like, I'm remembering that that's how my friend made them. Why did I think it was gonna hit me differently? I was like, you know, I'm older. I've been doing this for like 10 more years now. So like, I should be able to handle this in a different way. I mean, I was actually impressed on how well I handled it. And I think it freaked me out more because everyone else couldn't handle it. But I was like, oh shit, what's wrong with me?
Why am I okay with this?
it wasn't like you know, completely rosy, but like, it wasn't, everyone else just told me that they were having just the worst time of their entire life. So we'll see if we stay friends.
I hope so.
I mean, Jordan still has friends. Maybe I'm not their friend. We'll see what happens. We'll see how they react and deal. But
fingers crossed for the best.
How are you doing? I guess. Yeah.
You know, it's the end of the year, so lots of work stuff going on. It's starting to get snowy and dark here, so trying to create systems that help me with that, because we all know I hate when it's dark really early. And it's like dark at like 4:30 now, it feels like. I'm looking out and it's like nighttime at 4:30, and that feels even earlier than last year, so that's been pretty much a huge bummer. Finally doing things that I've been saying I wanted to do, but also taking time to like reevaluate the things I'm putting effort into, and I might have to change up some things for the new year. So just thinking about that, trying to stay really positive and not shut down post being dumped. So I went on a date Friday and it was nice. The person was nice. Just trying really hard to keep myself open, because pretty soon it'll be a year since I've been going to therapy every week. And I've done a lot of work in 2017, despite the dumpster fire that everything else has been. So trying to keep doing that and not let other people destroy the work that I've done for myself. I had a really good conversation with my dad over Thanksgiving, so that really boosted my spirits. We talked about a lot of things that I've had on my chest, and really think I can move to the point of forgiveness for a lot of things that I know I've been holding a grudge about. And we are going to possibly be running our first half marathons together in June in Philly. Yeah.
What?
He doesn't listen to this, so I don't have to worry about it. But for Christmas, I'm paying his fee to sign up. And then I got him a new water bottle and a shirt. And it's going to be, Merry Christmas, you're coming to Philly in June, because we're going to do this half marathon. Which he knows about, because I talked to him about me doing it. And then I was like, would you want to like run it with me? And he was like, yeah. So that is what I'm doing, and that means starting tomorrow, I am going to schedule time to start running again, because I haven't been doing that for myself. I haven't been doing anything for myself. So how to prioritize myself again, because, you know, starting a new job, as you absolutely know, within this past year, you end up putting yourself on the back burner for your new job, and I've been there 6 months now and can't keep doing that, so figuring out how to make time for myself to do the things that I want to do. I recorded my first YouTube video today.
I saw your tweet about it.
For the K-pop YouTube I said I was going to start. I feel like I've been putting it off because I didn't want people to make fun of me, but then I decided I don't give a shit. I've made some of my very best friends through K-pop. My friend Tiffany that I talk to every single day. And I enjoy the mood that it puts me in. And especially with the change in the weather, need to focus on the things that put me in a good mood. And that upbeat music puts me in a good mood. So I'm going to talk about it.
Yay. So, fucking do it. Yeah, that's so awesome.
I'm excited and nervous. Do it. But I got like an extra boost of confidence because there's this guy who has a million subscribers and does music video reactions for K-pop, and he was doing an Instagram live, and I never go on anyone's Instagram live. I actually hate those because I hate getting people's notifications for like when people go Facebook or Instagram live. I didn't sign up for them. I don't want to know. But he went live and he was having people join his live with him, and I like randomly popped in and saw that, and I was like, okay, like, so I clicked join, and he picked me to join his live for like 20 minutes, and we were just talking back and forth, and I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about starting a channel, like, not like yours. I want to do like full album reviews, but I'm like really nervous. And I was like, we're both like the same age, we're both mixed kids, like, how did you start, how do you deal with hate? And he was like, just do it. And I was like, okay, like, I'm gonna mention you in my first video. And he was like, okay. And I was like, okay, guess I'm gonna start this week. So I set up my tripod today and did my first video, and already have like a basic like tree outline of my next four videos, which, like, I'm terrible at planning like content like this, so it's pretty exciting.
I'm so happy and super jelly because I've been wanting to start a YouTube for forever, just about MS, and you're doing it.
I've been watching a couple of videos of like how to start a YouTube channel from like other people, and like they've given advice that I knew, like lighting and like the tripod, and like I already have a good camera, and like you already have a good camera, so that's not anything you have to worry about. Yeah. I actually recorded on my iPhone today on the back camera, and it turned out really well.
They do great. Yeah, no, I've made multiple videos that I've just never posted. Like, I made a whole video about my introduction to just, like, you know, this new journey of disease, and, like, what that means to me. And, like, it's just been sitting on my phone for how many months now? Like, 4 months?
Upload it.
At this point.
I considered not even editing my first video. I'm being like, I'm just going to upload it, because if I don't upload it, I'm never going to upload it.
Okay.
Just make a good ass thumbnail.
I'll upload it. I'll do it. Now I'm freaking scared, but yeah, I'll do it.
Both feet at the same time. I'm terrified, because I was like, how am I going to promote myself? Like, all of my friends are going to, like, laugh at me. And then I was just like, you know what? They already know that I listen to this or talk about it, so whatever.
Yeah, who doesn't already laugh at you a little bit about it? It's cute. It's awesome. It's funny to laugh at, because it's nice. it's refreshing to see someone who really likes something right now. People don't like shit right now. Like to find your personal joy is like is beautiful because it's just so sweet, and there's no sweetness in life right now. So be that sweetness for everyone else, and maybe you'll inspire other people to like something really hard.
It is fun. It's mindless. That's why I like it. There's no emotional investment on my end except for these people are beautiful. The end.
Yeah. And it's getting so big. K-pop is... BTS has been everywhere. Yeah.
It's almost...
They've been everywhere. Like, on Good Morning America.
The Late Late Show.
Everywhere. LM, yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel...
They did the American Music
Awards. Billboard Music
Awards. Like, I mean, they're a part of American culture. Like, and more K-pop will be coming over soon, so you're on it.
I mean, they had, I don't know if you listened to it, but their remix with Designer.
I have not listened to it. I will have to go find that. Well, you'll keep me in the loop because I'll be watching your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Make sure to give us the link so we can share it out.
I was trying to think of like a cool and funny title, but I was like, that's stupid. Why not just make it K-pop with B? Because I'm B on every other platform that... So that's
it. Keep it simple.
That's all it is. My page art is a honeycomb because bees. I'll probably invest in some once I hit like an X amount of videos.
Yeah. Awesome.
Right. Let's get into the John.
Yeah, let's do the John. So we haven't talked in a while, so there's like a lot of like somewhat old news that we need to talk about. First being the Grammys. The nomination list is insane. It's just insane. It's just shocking that there's so many black people that get to be nominated for things. For top things, too. Not just, you know, best hip-hop and rap artist or best urban contemporary. It's like there is color all over and in the top categories of the show. Like, we've got Record of the Year, Redbone, Childish Gambino, Despacito, the story of OJ, Humble, and... 24K Magic. Like, what?
Grammy's so brown.
Yeah. You know, you got Album of the Year, Awaken My Love, 444, Damn. Melodrama by Lorde. And 24K Magic by Bruno Mars.
I'll give it to Lorde. Her album as, like, a full anthology of music and the storyline through the whole thing is actually very good. I very much enjoyed her new album. I didn't care for any of the songs by themselves, but when I listened to the whole thing from beginning to end, I was like, yes, this has a full story that I can follow. There's a plot point, there's a peak, and then it mellows back out at the end. So very well done to her. I'd say she's probably the only white person that belongs in this category with the rest of these people. So, thumbs up to her, but double, quadruple, all thumbs, even thumbs I don't have up to how brown it is.
It's super brown. I've heard good things about Lorde's album, so like I won't be sad. No, I will be sad if she like turns around and wins it. I'll be very upset. And I guess I'll give it a listen. But, like, and it makes sense. What everything you said is, like, that's why I haven't really heard anything about the album besides when it came out, is because it's not full of singles.
I don't think it is at all.
But none of these, I mean, Damn. Damn and 24K Magic, I can say, are full of singles. Like, Awaken My Love, Redbone's really the only real single out of it. Like, I love every single freaking song on Awaken My Love, but I also just love me some Donald Glover, so I don't know if everyone else loves it.
You?
Yeah, me? Never. I love Donald Glover. But I saw some people hating on the album recently, saying that it sounds too old, that it's just rehashing of, like, the 70s. Like, yeah, it is a harken to that. Not everything has to sound like the same. Like, the sound of 2017 is not the sound of that album. Sure.
Very positive. I think everything should sound the same all the time.
Really? I just want everything to sound like Motorsport.
Yes. I want everything to sound like
how?
The Chainsmokers. Ugh. I cringe even joking.
Why would you even say that? No. But yay, I can't wait. Anyways, the Grammys are going to be great. I mean, everyone is getting a lot of shine. This best new artist, I mean, it has to be SZA. If it's anyone else, they're lying to themselves.
But if it was
Little Uzi Vert, like, what the hell? Little Uzi Vert?
That's the nastiest name. Lil Uzi.
Yeah. It's not a good name.
Anyway, it's SZA, so we can move on from that.
Yeah. I was looking at this list, I was like, I don't listen to pop music anymore. I was like, I don't even, what is Kelly Clarkson, Love So Soft? I was like, Pink had an album?
I know that I like Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, I like Kelly Clarkson, I like Pink. I'm just not familiar with their new music.
No,
oh, you don't like Pink?
She's annoying.
Not even back in the day?
I like Misunderstood. That album.
Yeah.
It's a great album. I don't like watching her, like, talk. I don't know. There's something about her that just annoys me.
Okay.
That's just me.
No, I'm intrigued. I don't see her enough to even have an opinion. I was like, I like those old songs.
Yeah, I like the old ones. I mean, who are they up? I'm looking at best pop vocal. Like, Ed Sheeran's gonna win that.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was just inside of that song. Did you listen to Ed Sheeran and Beyonce's song? They have a duet.
Ed Sheeran?
Yeah. And Beyonce.
How did he get her to do that? How much money did
he pay? I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. They're pretty, I mean, he's pretty important, even though he looks like
nothing. He looks like,
you know,
nothing.
Like nothing.
No, he looks like nothing.
At the very least, like, he could be in Lord of the Rings. Like, he could be a hobbit.
You know what? Best Urban Contemporary album. If The Weeknd wins that, I'm gonna scream. And, like, no offense to you, but SZA better win that, because that album is the best. The album is the best. I listen to it every single day in completion, from beginning to end. I don't skip any songs.
I do the same thing with Awaken My Love, so we'll see what happens.
That's my girl.
Oh no, it's that other glow that Donald Glover has that makes me feel like he's gonna win every single thing, because he's also doing amazing stuff in movies and television.
Well, he can win there.
And so I'll
he only has one thing. I'm surprised.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
My best R&B song. First of all, I'm annoyed that Bruno Mars is nominated, but whatever. But I'm surprised that Supermodel is the contender for SZA. That wasn't even her single. I don't know. Cause then the Weeknd is her R&B performance, which is what she just performed on SNL, and that wasn't initially her single either, but it went platinum anyway.
Well, the people are finding what they like, and they're pushing the music up.
I'll be surprised if Bodak Yellow doesn't win best rap song.
Well, it has to. But it might not. But it has to. If it's going by being number one and, being the song that everyone cannot stop hearing.
I mean, it's up against Bad and Bougie. For a rap performance.
It is. Oh, for rap performance. Oh, no. Oh, that's exactly. Hard. I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to pick. Because, it's literally just splitting the year. Like, oh, the first half of the year was Bad and Bougie. The second half of the year was Bodak Yellow.
Yep. Anyway, we could sit here and talk about the Grammy nominations.
Well, I don't know. People have also been rocking Humble the entire year.
Yeah, I got over that song real fast.
Oh, I didn't. I like it. It slaps. I'm ready for it whenever it comes on. I'm like, I always turn into the person, like, that supercut of, like, that video of that song with, like, those 80s workout people dancing. I always just, like, turn into that whenever I hear that song.
Okay.
We can move on, though. Yeah, we like music, apparently. I forget that I like music.
Never forget.
So, I think everyone's talked about this clapback, but I could not talk about it. Keisha Lance Bottoms is the new mayor of Atlanta. New black mayor of Atlanta. I mean, there is a recall, a recount that's happening because, like, she won, like, by 100 and something votes. But she's the mayor of right now, and it's created a city divided in Atlanta, and they were talking about it on this CBS news station, Channel 4, about it. And they were talking about, like, is this a racial issue? You know, is this about race? And, you know, they talked about it, and they were for real that, you know, everything's about race. Duh. Like, yes, it's a black woman against a white woman in Atlanta, which is a black city, was it the capital of the Confederacy, Atlanta, or was that Charleston? It was, like, if it wasn't the capital, it was second. It was, like, burnt down during the Civil War. Like, it is a racialized city. Like, it can't, like, just can't not be. Because it's a city in America. And so, this woman, Kathy Ray, decided to write that Sharon Reed, this reporter, needs to be fired for the race-baiting comments that she made, and that she is the racist one, and that she's a a Niger because she can't spell the N-word.
Great. Love it.
You are a racist Niger.
Yes, I am.
So, so Sharon Reed responded on television in the classiest but also slap you in the mouth way. Side eye, hair flip, and all. And Kathy Ray no longer has a job now. So I think she won that battle.
Good.
And white people, why do you come after us? Why do you come, like, I feel like every black newscaster has had something ridiculous at this point now, so.
You know, it's just those racist Nigers.
It's Niger. Niger. Like,
God,
come on.
Those Nigers.
Well, learn how to spell first. Like, be ready. At least you're going to be racist. Do it right. You know, like, spell check it, bitch.
Grammarly. Like,
what? But I guess that wouldn't get corrected because.
She didn't capitalize it.
That's actually a word.
It's not capitalized.
She did. Oh. It was capitalized, so it was spell checked to
right.
that. So let's just let you know that when you're being racist, that spell check might get in the way of your
Which
racism.
Shout out to spell check. I bet a black person created spell check for that simple reason. That reason alone.
Because when you hit spell checks the N-word tonight to Niger, and then you have to know, truly know what you're trying to do to fix it.
Anyway.
So that was that,
that
one.
That was that one. Tomorrow will be another one.
Right? I mean, every time there's someone racist being racist, so. Next week, white people will be white people again. Continuing that, 45 was invited and visited the opening of a new civil rights museum in Mississippi, and everyone protested it.
Because that doesn't make any sense.
Because it doesn't, why? Why would you do that? The speech was garbage because he only gives garbage speeches because he can't read or, you know, he doesn't do work. And everyone, no black, like one of the major black politicians that are inside of the, inside of Congress, and including Representative John Lewis, said, hell no, we're not going to be there. People were protesting outside of it. And it's just an insult. I mean, he's clearly against everything that the civil rights movement represents. Why would you bring the devil to the church? Why would you do that? And it makes me think about next year. Next year's the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. He's going to try to be in Memphis at that museum.
Good. Great. So happy.
Because he wants his photo op. He does it all for a photo op. He doesn't want to help black lives or anybody's life, except for his own and his family's. So, anyways. Black women have a lot of books out, and this is just me letting everyone know what they should be buying me for Christmas. If you haven't purchased a gift for me, I would like The Last Black Unicorn by Tiffany Haddish. I would like The Mother of Black Hollywood by Jennifer Lewis. Right now, I am listening to The Hate U Give that came out earlier this year, but it is now by Angie Thymus. It's now one of New York Times books of the year. So yay, black women in literature making waves. Yay for these black women writing their stories, these memoirs. So many, like, I think that's where a lot of our literature lives, in that memoir space. I think black women, Roxane Gay was talking about how black women are always pushed to bare our entire souls. And the only way to do that is in literature is through the memoir. So I'm excited to read Tiffany Haddish's book because I just am continually inspired by her. Everything that she does, everything I hear about her, every movie that she's going to be in, every television appearance, she's just always having fun, always being herself, and has a story of perseverance that like that we all have. So it's beautiful when seeing more Black women always sharing their truth 100%ly. And then Jennifer Lewis, she's just a bad 60-year-old woman that I want to become, who I want to be when I grow up. And she's been doing amazing things too, just being so honest about mental illness and mania. People talk a lot about depression, anxiety, but I don't see a lot of discussion. There is discussion about mania, but like mania, sometimes people don't take their like mania. People sometimes take mania as a positive, or it could be a positive, or like a way of like getting a lot of energy out or getting good work done. Even though you're hurting or in true pain, there's always that crash when you are going through a manic state. So she has this really great video on The Root about mania and how it affected her life. So yeah, good books. Any books on your mind?
Funny you should say that. My entire Amazon wish list is 3 pairs of shoes, 4 face scrubs, and all books. And all books written by Black women. So Tiffany Haddish's book is on there. Jennifer Lewis's book is on there. Gabrielle Union's book is on there. The Hate Yes. U Give is on there. Any Roxane Gay book that I don't already have is on there. A few like poetry chat books by Black women are on there. Yeah, that's literally all I asked for Christmas was like 3 pairs of shoes, some like skincare stuff, and books. Oh, and 23andMe.
Self care. Oh, you're gonna do 23andMe? I'm afraid of it.
I'm curious to know. Yeah, I don't feel like I know anything at all about my family except for like the Italian part of my heritage, and that's like very vaguely understood via internet search. So I would like to know something. I feel like my grandmother on my dad's side was the keeper of all that information, and she passed away before I was born. And on his dad's side, my granddad has dementia, so like, and then my great aunt passed away last year, so like the keepers of that information are gone. And my mother's mother, I don't know if she really knows or if she just doesn't want to tell me. But even then, like my gram passed away 2 years ago, so like all the keepers of that are gone.
So you're doing 23andMe for that? Have you done an ancestry search to get that understanding?
I'm just doing the ancestry one. I don't know that I want to do the full blown I feel like my dad doesn't know enough about that side of the family, and there's so many knights. So like if I try and look it up like based on last name of like knight, it like gets jumbled up of like knights that I'm actually related to and knights that are like
very far removed, or
like are from like the first knights that ever existed, and now we're not actually like, we've so far removed that we're not related.
Knight is one of those many last names that like could mean anything. You could be anybody and have the last name Knight.
So I mean, my job. So...
Yeah, you're not related to those nights. You might be.
I'm like, what if I am? That would be both weird and funny. So, like, we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, I'm with you on the black women books. Lots of books. Every book.
Like, like, yeah. I want to be like, slow down so I can catch up and read all these damn books, but I'm also like, keep on shining, woman. Yeah. And did you read Gabrielle Union, she had an article in the New York Times about just the troubles of having her book deal and like how hard it was to make sure her book was just even shown like in bookstores. No. And that it was like it was being suppressed, just like really highlighting the struggles for black women in everywhere. But like, yeah, she had her book deal. They would order the books and have them, but not even put them out.
Are you serious?
The only way that she got people to have her books in certain stores is by having her fans say something, say that they want the book, they want to see this book in the stores, and that's how it got into the stores. A lot of like hard work on her end. Like, even with the book deal, there's still struggles.
I don't
want
to be surprised, but
yeah, no, you can't really, yeah, you can't be surprised,
unfortunately. All right.
All right.
Moving along to, I mean, this is another thing that people have been talking about that we haven't been around for a little while due to the holiday, so we're just now talking about it, but for some reason you missed the news. Meghan Markle is now engaged to Prince Harry, who, full disclosure, is not in line to take the throne. So all of you understand that. So that means that Meghan will not be a princess. She will be probably known as the Duchess, because mm-hmm. Prince William and Prince Kate are the ones that will succeed Queen Elizabeth.
But if they, like, all died, he's, like, sixth in line, right?
Yeah, I mean, if people die, then he'll take the throne. But I don't think that anyone's dying anytime soon, so.
I mean, the baby outranks him.
The babies.
Prince George. Yeah, like, and then, like, the new babies that are in the stuff. Like, oh, yeah, the little girl, Charlotte.
So there's George and Charlotte, too. So hopefully we don't see any Lion King shit going on. But anyway, was really, first of all, baffled at the outlet that this was posted on to start this conversation. It was The Root was the first time I saw it. Which is a magazine dedicated to black culture. And it had this line about the idea that Meghan being engaged to Prince Harry gives black women hope.
Oh, and yeah, that bullshit.
ABC News reshared the story with people's tweets. And now, suddenly, black women feel hopeful because she's engaged to a prince. And I will say it's cool that... I think it's cooler that she's just, like... I mean, she was in the spotlight, she's been on TV, etc., etc., but, like, she wasn't even a D-list celebrity. Like, maybe a, like, T-list celebrity.
Yeah, her show's on USA. So
like, very bottom level, almost essentially just like an everyday person getting engaged to a prince. That is cooler to me, of just like, she didn't have, like, A-list celebrity status and got engaged to a prince. She was just kind of, like, a couple people I know in Philadelphia level famous and was engaged to a prince. But this idea that because she's a black woman, it gives black women hope that they'll get chosen. It feeds into that culture of, like, the pick-me's of, like, I'm better, or, like, suddenly I'm worthy, based on my proximity to royal whiteness. And that's just, like, really upsetting. I feel like I was really angry when I first read this, and I know a lot of people that were really angry, and now at this point, I'm just kind of, like, bummed out that that's how people look at themselves or look at black women, and so it's changed from, like, anger to just disappointment. Mostly in the pick-me's that wrote things like that, but I'm curious to know how you feel about it.
Well, I mean, it reduces women and black women, like, women and black women, and particularly that our biggest accomplishment is going to be getting married, is, like, she's done so, like, yeah, she's not a huge celebrity because of like the shows that she's on, but she's also, like, a philanthropist. She's someone that gives a lot to a lot of different people, and she is like, in terms of, like, society and people that give, she is a notable name, and it's amazing that she's someone that is, you know, grew up in LA and is now living in, like, gonna be living next to Buckingham Palace, you know. I don't know why one black woman getting married to a prince is supposed to give me hope. I don't know what that hope is supposed to be for. I already know that I'm magic and I'm awesome and I'm a bad bitch, so I don't, her thing doesn't validate me more. Maybe it validates some people, and I can definitely see a huge validation for young girls, like, just because of princess culture, and that there's this, and there aren't a lot of black princesses that we talk about. So maybe, but that's still reductive of women as well. So yay for Meghan. Get married. Be rich. But does it change my life? Did I suddenly feel more beautiful or more desirable because this woman is getting married? No. And it also has other questions too, because, like, she's not someone that, I don't have any feelings yay or nay about it. She's not someone that identifies herself as a black woman. She identifies herself as a mixed person. And that is, like, an international blackness question that I don't want to, like, get into, but, like, and that's a choice for her. So again, does it affect me? Nah. Do I feel better because of her? No, I feel, you know, better because of Michelle Obama every day than her. Like, I barely know her. She's Meghan Markle, who's, and, like, and it's Prince Harry, the same one that wore a Nazi, like, outfit for Christmas, for Halloween. Can we talk about that?
I'm out here thinking, like, you gonna snag a prince? That's the one you snag? I guess.
Like, I mean, at the end of the day, she's more accomplished than him. I mean, he's got a name.
What has he done with it?
Like, he is an army veteran, like an Air Force veteran. It's like that's what we could say. Like, it could be movie, television star, and Air Force veteran, because outside of being the prince, that's what he is. This is an Air Force veteran. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but...
But if we're gonna compare receipts... Yeah, so... That doesn't give me hope. I don't feel suddenly, like, beautiful, or, like... I definitely don't feel like there's hope for me that suddenly a prince will... It's just this narrative of, like, she's so lucky to have him, and, like, she would be just as wonderful and philanthropic and beautiful with or without him. So, whatever.
And his family's still colonizers.
Well,
that doesn't go away.
See, America. And the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
But anywho.
And the rest of the world. The sun never sets on the British Empire. Like.
God. But yeah. Mm. Yes.
That shit wasn't long ago. So.
It wasn't.
All right. I think we're good with this, John. Yeah. I don't have a you better word because I'm pulling shit together. And I'm in that reflective end of the year. It's been a year of me. It's almost going to be a year of me living in freaking Colorado. Like, what? So I've just been reflecting on this past year. This year that I could... There's a part of me that wants to make it like just a throwaway year. It's like, it was just such, it was so much transition. It was so much transition for me from moving to getting sick to I'm doing a lot of stuff to try to help my family, my grandparents. Like, everything is just like readjusting my understanding of the world that I'm like, how do I get ready for 2018? So I can actually get back to some of the things that I really want to get done. Because all of those things have kind of went out the window because I didn't calculate, one, how traumatic a move is. And then I had no idea, you know, the terrible things that have happened to me since. So, hey. So as I'm evaluating, maybe I'll have something beautiful to tell you guys later as I figure it out. But I'm still trying to figure
out
it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of in the same place of like I ended last year knowing that my job was disappearing at one place. I had no idea where I was going next. Was in the process of applying for jobs at this point. Ended up going home for almost a month and being really depressed. Came back to Philly and jumped into therapy and still had no idea what I was doing for 6 months. And then the last 6 months of this year has been working two jobs. I'm now finishing out being the member of a board. I'm now gearing up as the member of a POC-focused collaborative collective. I just got dumped. Like, I'm starting out like a new project that I've been wanting to do for a while. Working on my relationship with my dad, so like a lot to look at and haven't had time to like look at it all. So I'm looking forward to the few days off of work to like do that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have like no major plans for Christmas. Well, my mother's like supposed to come visit me. And if she does, that would be cool. But if she doesn't, oh well. And I want to focus in on me. What is 2018?
What is 2018?
Because, like, you know, all the because all the bad shit that's happening isn't going to stop. Like, all this that doesn't truly affect our everyday, but is affecting our general consciousness. That's never going to stop. I don't see an end of that. And I shouldn't stress myself about those things anymore. And how do I make sure that my individual life gets better?
Yeah. Anyway, let's move it right along. I'm assuming, I feel like this was like a extended anxiety corner of like everything we've been anxious about all year. And we can move on. Because I don't know if you want to talk about what the president has been doing, but I really...
Oh, I really don't. I don't want to. But it can, like, no.
Great.
No. Everyone has other places to go listen to for that. Watch those things. I don't want to talk about those things. Let's focus in on joy. I want to, like, really make that, like, a huge initiative for me.
Focus on the joy.
and the things that I share, not the sad. The joy.
So then I guess we're moving on to Throwback Jam, which, funny enough, I've been using this song for both positive things and the absolute crap in my life. It is... We're going back to 1993.
Oh, shit.
Someone is back again. And it may or may not be a tag team. And it may or may not be, whoop, there it is, whoop, there it is, whoop, there it is, whoop, there it is, shaka-laka, shaka-laka,
shaka-laka, shaka-laka, shaka-laka, shaka-laka, okay,
so
yes.
So I've been using this song, I think I used it in a work meeting. I was just like, well,
because,
like, sometimes I just, like, don't know what to say to things, or, like, how to react, or how to respond, or, like, when things fall apart, or when things finally, like, come together, and it's just, like, ooh, there it is. But I, like, never say it in, like, I always say it like I'm going to sing, like, the rest of the words. So it's never just, like, whoop, there it is. It's always, like, whoop, there it is. Because, like, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to say it, I have to say it in its fullness.
Yeah. I like it.
So, that's my throwback jam. Does that song make you feel any feels?
No.
Any fun feels?
I mean, it makes me think about, like, being a first grader. Like, that was, like, a big song then, you know, and it was a good song to share with a child. So, and I think of, like, sports games, you know, playing a basketball, things that I will never do, but.
I was 2 when this song came out.
Wow. Yep. Two. That's cool. I was six. I was in the first, like, kindergarten into first grade.
Or something like that.
Oh, yes, with my glasses. I, like, just got my first pair of glasses.
Cool,
yeah,
kid.
The big dream. With my 5 head and my glasses. I was cute, though. Very precious. Oh, anyways.
Giggle, cackle, roar.
Okay. My thing is amazing. There's this show on Netflix. It comes from, like, TV Tokyo. Called Kantaro the Sweet Tooth Salaryman. It's like a live action anime. And it's about a guy that loves desserts.
Stop.
Just loves desserts. And he works as a salesman, like, selling magazines to, like newspaper stands. Like, it's like the dumbest, like, no low stakes job ever. And he goes to eat delicious Japanese treats, like, every day. And he, like, has an orgasm while he's eating them, like, every single time. And it's amazing. And it's hilarious, and it makes you want to eat these things. He went to get hotcakes, like freaking pancakes, and I've never seen someone, one, eat a pancake so deliberately. Each slice, each use of, like, syrup versus butter was, like, well planned out. That I was like, that's the only way to eat a pancake. I don't even like pancakes, but I want one now. And, like, all these desserts are so crazy and then so beautiful. And, again, it's just so nice to see someone love something. And it's about people that are just having a food blog. And you're just like, and it's just amazing. And it, like, plays on, if you watch animes and you've seen, like, different types of anime, it plays on a lot of different tropes from anime. There's parts of it that I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm watching Death Note. He's having, like, his Death Note time right now. Or, like, these kids, like, this one girl that's in it, she was, like, totally being, like, a young, like, one of those, like, young girl type animes. And she had this old guy that was acting like a little kid. And it was just beautiful. And you just want to go eat all the food. And I just want to go to Japan. It, like, reminded me, like, oh, I've always wanted to go to Japan. Even more reason to want to go to Japan so I can eat every one of these things. I want to go to all of these shops and eat all of these delicious things. Some of them even looks weird, and I'm like, I still want it. Like, I've never thought about beans being delicious and being a part of a dessert, and they're a part of, like, half of these desserts. And I'm like, oh, beans. It's not just red beans. It's, like, a lot of other different types of beans.
Get in where you can fit in, apparently.
Oh. Right? But Asian culture is slowly taking over, and I'm here for it.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Funny that you should say that. My giggle cackle roar is not anything K-pop related. It was actually two British TV shows that I've been rewatching that I absolutely love. I think I've talked about it before on the show, but My Mad Fat Diary is hands down my favorite TV show ever. It follows this character. She's coming out of being in a psych ward. So, trigger warnings, there is a lot of talk of self-harm and suicide and eating disorders within the show. So if y'all want to just, like, skip to the end or, like, call this the end of listening to Black Girls Laughing, that's totally fine. But it follows her journey. She was in for self-harm and binge eating. And then it follows her coming out. So, like, what's it like to re-enter the world? How do you reconnect with the friends you had? How do you position your life in a way that you don't fall back into the same habits? So a lot of hers is, like, making new friends and addressing her toxic relationship with her best friend that she had both going in and coming out, addressing her relationship with her mother, and then, like, addressing her relationship with herself and her body and how she feels about it. And she isn't, like, super happy all the time, which feels like more of a reality than anything. It's like, I feel like we always see, like, these Ashley Grahams who are beautiful, and it's awesome that, I mean, even, like, these Gabrys, that they love their body, and that's, I can't wait till I get to a point where I feel like that every day, but I'm not at a point where I'm like that every day. I'm definitely like that more often than I used to be, but it's still, like, every day, like, learning process and, like, a conversation. And, I mean, the fat girl gets the guy of her dreams in this show, and her feelings are reciprocated, and that is something you also never see. And I will say, in comparison to the relationship with, like, This Is Us, and I know a lot of people have issues with that fat character because she's very low as me. You get to see this character in therapy, and you get to see her highs and lows. You, like, get to see all of it instead of just, like, the woe is me. It's kind of just like, yeah, why wouldn't? Like, why wouldn't you date me? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you like me? I'm funny. I'm cool. I have great taste in music, and I'm awesome. And so I really would, if you want a character like This Is Us, but is less, I feel like she's always just so depressed. I feel like my Mad Fat Diary is great. And the whole show, like, she's the main character. The whole show is about her. It centers on her and her journey through all of this. Unfortunately, the show was cut after 3 seasons. It's a real bummer, but it started off as a book. The woman that wrote the book also helped with the show. The soundtrack is amazing, like 90s alternative music, so like Stone Roses, Oasis, Nirvana, like all of that. It's really awesome.
Nice.
So I watched that, and then it suggested that I watch another show that I've watched called Some Girls. And it's about these 4 girls that live in Europe, and they're all just like in high school, and they're really awkward, and they go through like really uncomfortable things, and the one friend is like really self-confident and like has a boyfriend and like feels confident and like sleeping around and is totally okay with that, and the one girl is like she's a Sikh and like struggling with like she wants to shave her legs because everyone else does, but that's not a part of her culture or her religion. So, like, what does she do with that? And she's, like, kind of awkward, but also really smart, but, like, wants to be seen as more than just, like, the smart girl. And then you've got the black girl, who's the main character of the show, and she's, like, very smart, very bright. You see her, like, struggle with dating someone who wants her to get a weave, and it doesn't really, like, it doesn't, like, focus on, like, the idea that she's black, so, like, she experiences things completely different from everyone else because she's black. It's like, yes, these conversations about things she's experiencing as a black woman, but also, like, she's also just a girl in high school, so, like, experiences that all of us have had in high school of just, like, being awkward or, like, having a really big crush on someone. And then you have the, I don't remember how they describe it in like British culture, but like the girl with like the big boobs and like the face piercing and like dyed red hair. There's like a trope. But like you follow her relationship with like her dad's in jail and her mom sucks and she like raises her siblings. And so it's like their relationships to each other and their like individual stories, and it's so funny. It like has moments that reminds me of chewing gum because it's just so awkward but like so realistic. And those two shows, watching them again, though emotional, brought me a lot of joy because, again, we know I don't watch TV, but like I was taking time to be like, I'm gonna watch these shows when I come home because I love them. So,
oh, that's great.
A roar to those because they made me feel really positive.
Yay, I want to check them out. I need some positive, I need a different type of positive show.
So, you'll have to Hulu them.
Okay. It's making me, you're making me think about, because I'm also watching She's Gotta Have It on Netflix. And, like, it's, like, good and bad for me to watch. Like, there's parts of it that's, like, very affirming, and then parts of it that just feels like it's, that very high bar for black women to be awesome, and like, and how they're always, there's all these characters just kind of like sit in this relatable but then also very unattainable space. And so like I really like the character of Darling, but like, yeah. So I don't know. I'm interested in seeing that show so it could be affirming in a different way.
Yeah, I haven't started it yet because I don't remember. I know I watched the movie, but it was at like an age where like I was sneaking and watching Soul Food. So like I was sneaking and watching movies that like my dad wouldn't approve of me watching. So like my recollection of the movie, I don't remember. So I kind of want to watch it before I watch the show.
You should. That's what I did. I watched that first to remind me of it. It's all on Netflix. Too. So, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll do that.
It's very Spike Lee.
Surprise.
But I don't know. I like when you know that you're watching something that's Spike Lee. You just have to, you know, be like, all right, everyone's gonna be talking in this way that seems. Doesn't seem like it seems true to life, but then also in that heightened way that he does it. Like the language is just it's beautiful and I appreciate it, but it's something that you have to be ready for. I think so. Anyways, that's the show.
You can find us on the internet at blackgirlslaughing.com, on Twitter at BLK Girls Laughing with no G, on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. You can shoot us an email, blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. And you can find us on our individual Instagrams. I'm at B, like the bumblebee, and Knight Lee, like knight in shining armor.
And I'm at Brie, like the cheese, and Heinz, like Gregory Hines. I'm gonna start using like the freaking cheese emoji.
Do it.
I need to put that in my emoji cheese repertoire. Yes.
Bye.
All right. Love you guys.